Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and we'll begin in chapter 15, verse 1. And I know we're not at Easter, but folks, you don't have to wait to Easter to preach on the resurrection. You don't have to wait to December to preach on the birth of Christ. Amen. I had some young preacher boys a few years back rebuke me for celebrating Christmas, said that wasn't biblical. I said, well, whatever. I said, that's the birth of my Savior, and I think we ought to recognize it. They said, we ought to be celebrating Easter. Well, he said, Bible never, you know, it's amazing how smart these guys that born yesterday know when they get here. I guess I was that way. Well, of course, somebody told me I was that way already this week. But anyway, Mark chapter 15, Bible says, and straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things. Verse 3, God worked in my heart personally. And I'm not going into details. But God worked in my heart personally in verse number 3. And so I said, Lord, let me preach on it. Preach in this text. And said, the chief priests accused him of many things. Now, we don't have a list. But many means a lot. I don't know a whole lot, but so they took time to accuse him of a lot of things. And the Lord's response is what got me rebuked, but he answered nothing. He never defended himself. Many believed these accusations because they were going around telling that. It's quiet. The first thing we want to do is defend ourselves. And a lot of times that's what we do. And I found out this week that sometimes it makes it worse. It does. I've been going a long time without running down things I was accused of. But man, I tripped this week. And the Lord answered nothing. Didn't say anything. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? And infuriated him. He wanted to argue. Behold, how many things they witness against thee. He said, man, there's all kind of stuff being told about you. Had a man tell me that one time. He said, you better be careful. I said, why? Maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was in his house. He said, a lot of stuff being told about you. I said, what? He goes, oh, I don't want to get in the middle of it. I said, man, why'd you tell me for? I was having a pretty good day. You got to love these Christian folk. Let's look at verse 5. But Jesus yet answered nothing, and so that Pilate, he's blowed his mind. This man ain't even defending himself. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had over... I'm reading all kind of places here. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. And the chief priests moved the people, that he should release Barabbas unto them, murdering the criminal folks. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'd have mercy upon the message and upon the messenger tonight. And Lord, upon those that are receiving it, Lord, I pray you open our hearts. Anoint us with the power of God. Help us, we pray. We need help. And I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to use this text tonight, if God be my helper. And I want to preach a very short and simple thought on Pilate, the man with the conscience but no character. Pilate, a man with a conscience but no character. Pilate said in John, I find no fault in this man. His wife suffered many things in a dream and tried to warn Pilate, this is a just man. But yet he was more concerned about satisfying the people. And of course we in that day as well. But you understand, the historians tell us that Pilate committed suicide in AD 41. That he could not bear what he had done. And it drove him crazy. Now, I'm not saying that's the gospel. The historians say AD 41, Pilate killed himself. Probably because of this very thing. His conscience eat him up, but he had no character. And folks, in these days, we need character. Amen. Right. Amen. So I want to look at a few things and try to make some application tonight. And we'll go home. Now, the first thing I want to notice in the first five verses of what I've read is Pilate's duty. Pilate had a responsibility to make a decision about what he was going to do with Jesus. Get a hold of that. There's a spiritual thought there. Pilate had a responsibility. It was his responsibility to decide what he was going to do with Christ. Folks, all of us have that responsibility. The day before you got saved, when the Lord saved you, you had a responsibility to accept or reject the call of salvation that come from the Holy Spirit when you heard the gospel. You had a responsibility to reject or accept. And aren't you glad that you accepted the call? And even in our own Christian life, it's still a responsibility for us to make our minds up, our hearts up. What are we going to do with Jesus? We're going to let his light shine in our life or not? We're going to live obedient or not? And so Pilate, we had a duty here. In verse number one, he said, "In straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate." I mean, they brought Jesus to Pilate. So now he had a duty. Christ was there. He had to make a decision. We see the person of his duty. In verse 2, we see the procedures of his duty. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" He answering said unto them, "Thou sayest it." Now Christ has revealed himself. The procedure of his duty, now he knows who he's dealing with. "Thou sayest," you're right, you said it. That's what he said. He said, "You said it." And so now they brought him, he had a duty, they brought him to him. And the procedures was now he'd revealed himself to him, but now we have a problem, verse 3 through 5. The chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. What's happening now? Well, Isaiah 53:7, there's a prophecy being fulfilled. He openeth not his mouth. As a lamb brought before his shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. Now there's a prophecy being fulfilled right here. Whoop. An Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah's prophecy. Then we see power failure. The ones judging him didn't have the authority to do that. 1 Peter, I'm going to turn there if I can get there quickly. 1 Peter chapter number 2, I believe it is. 1 Peter 2 verse 23, the Bible says this. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. They didn't have a right. They couldn't judge Christ righteously. Hello. That's right. They didn't know Christ. They wasn't one of God's. And so they didn't have a right. They didn't have the authority to accuse him of anything. Folks, we better realize we don't have the authority to accuse God. They could accuse him, condemn him, crucify him, but the outcome was already in higher hands. You know what he said? What y'all say isn't why I'm going to die on the cross. Your lies, your accusations isn't going to stop the will of God. That was already before the foundation of the world. Hey, they were just tools in God's hand to fulfill the will of God. Amen. They thought they had power. They didn't have any power. God was using them as pawns. He was using them to do his will. Isn't that amazing? People, man thinks, boy, you got all this ability and all this power. All you have is what God has given you. All I have is what God has given me. And that's it. I can't do any more. God called me to preach. God put the heart of a pastor in me. God let me pastor a church. That's where God's put me. That's where God has planted me. And I really can't. I could go do something else, but I wouldn't do it with God's approval. And I wouldn't have the peace and power of God on it either. It's amazing. And I'm not getting politicky, but men that hold offices and our governmental powers and all around the world, not just this, they think that they're in charge. They do. They think they're in charge. They're not in charge. It's all working to what God wants it to do. All of this has an end. And God has an expected end for everything. God's not sitting there wondering what Trump's going to do or what the president of China's going to do or what. He's in charge of that. They think they're in charge. God has ordained higher powers. Amen. Then God has given us responsibility to respect those higher powers as long as they don't go against God's word. But yet they're not in control. God, they thought these high priests and Pilate and all these men, they thought they were in control. We got Christ right where we want him. No, God's got him right where he wanted him. Amen. The Lord put him right where he wanted him. They didn't have any control of that. He came to give his life. And that was just a stepping stone to get there. They didn't have any control of that. Folks, you and I better realize we need the Lord every moment of our life. We need God every moment. We're not in charge of our life. We don't know when God's going to call us. It doesn't matter what our plans are. It doesn't matter what we think about it. It doesn't matter. Hey, you're not in charge. Hey, I'm my own man. I do my own thing. No, you don't. God's in charge of your life. He can change it in an instant. He can put a bypass in your life and go a different direction that quick if he sees fit, and there's nothing we can do about it. So what do? Submit to his will no matter what it is. Amen. The direction he has for us, the way he has for us, the how he has for us, submit to it. Don't puff up. Don't go to accusing God of anything because he's God. Pilate's duty, the person of his duty, the procedures of his duty, the problem of his duty. Now let's look at something else. In verses 6 through 14, we see Pilate's dilemma. Let's look at it. Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection. He had went against the government violently, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Revolted against the government, revolted against the land, and killed people while he was doing it. Went totally against the law. Went totally against sparing someone's life. Wicked. And the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "What will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. They couldn't stand it. Jealous of him. And the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out, "Crucify him." And then Pilate said unto him, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." Now he's in a dilemma. Turn loose the murderer or the Messiah. Satisfy the multitude or the Messiah. Do what the ministers say, the high priest say, or Messiah, or the Lord. It's in a dilemma. One thing, Pilate, out of that, he could have had both. He thought, "I can do both." You can't do both. He couldn't please the world and please the Lord. He's in a dilemma. Folks, we get in those dilemmas sometime. Sometimes we'll get in those dilemmas at school, on our job, in public stores or restaurants. We have to make a decision. Pilate knew Christ had done nothing to deserve it. He knew it. But who's he going to please? Folks, there's going to come times in our lives in these last days we're going to have to make a stand or not make one. We're going to have to make a stand. We're going to have to say, if this gets me lied on, if this gets me fired, if this gets me out of the popular club, if it gets whatever, I'm going to stand for the Lord. And folks, get this. Christ didn't argue with them. He didn't open a debate with them. He didn't fuss with them. He just didn't go their way. He was going in a different direction. Folks, you and I will have to make a decision in our life which direction we're going in. The Lord's direction or the world's direction. Pilate made a bad decision. He was in a bad dilemma here. What do I do? What do I do? But then thirdly, in verses 15 through 19, we see his decision. Look at verse 15. His decision was based on three things. Fear of the people, verse 15. So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus. And when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now Pilate's hitting him. So now, to content the people, he feared them. I don't know if an election was coming up. I don't know. He was on their turf. I don't know what was going on, but he was scared to death. He was scared to death to say, "No, we're not crucifying Jesus. There's nothing he's done." So his decision was based on fear. Folks, don't let fear dictate your direction in life. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. Living for God is not going to make you popular in this world. Kids, it's not going to get you voted most popular. It's not going to get you a bunch of friends, but it gets you the right ones. And can I say something to you? You may have 10 walking with you, but I promise ain't about one for you. Oh, I got plenty of friends. No, you got plenty of people around you, but that don't make them your friend. Hey, the prodigal had plenty of people around him until he didn't have nothing to give them. He had plenty to offer them, but when all that money was wasted and gone, he's living in a hog pen. Ain't one of them coming to his aid. Hey, can I say this? He didn't have one friend in the world. He didn't have one friend in this world. But his father. That's right. His older brother didn't like him. So in light of eternity, it just do us well not to let fear hinder us from doing right and making right decisions. The fear of the people, the fame of popularity. He got all kind of applause. Pilate, good job. Pilate, you're the man. Man, we knowed you'd do right, Pilate. In his heart, he knew he didn't do right. And it haunted him. It haunted him. The crowd dispersed. The other leaders are gone. Christ is on a hill dying. He can't sleep at night. He tosses and he turns. He has a breakdown. And again, according to historians, he committed suicide years later. He lived in torment and torture the rest of his life. Hey, folks, who's going to help you sleep at night? Jesus or that crowd you're trying to impress? Who's going to ease your mind and heart? Christ or that crowd? I think that answer is pretty simple. He made the decision based on fear of the people, fame of popularity, then feeling of power. Verse 15, the last part of verse number 15. When he had scourged him to be crucified. Oh, man. He then got built up in the flesh now. And laid hands on Jesus. Can you imagine? Being so engrossed with the mindset that I'm going to satisfy the world that you smack the Savior's face. That's a sad, sad thing. So I'm going to ask you this. Come on, Courtney, I'm finished. I'm going to ask you this. Do you have conscience but no character? What kind of stand have you made today? And I'm not talking about arrogance or some type of me. I'm talking about just doing right. Have you made the right choice today? Have you made the right decision today? Have you done what you know to do is best today? Lord, help us. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.